We're going to begin reading it, verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother, my companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy upon him, and not him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, but to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for brothers and sisters in the faith, Lord, and the example and the joy that they can bring into our lives. And so, Father, we would just want to focus on that this morning. Lord, give us understanding. Lord, open your word to us. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts with what each and every one of us needs. It's amazing how you do that. The words that I say and what you've laid upon my heart, Lord, translates into so many different things when it gets into the ears of those who want to hear. And so, Father, use your Holy Spirit to teach us what we need to today. Thank you for the service so far. Thank you for both Barb and Joyce offering their songs, and Kim and Matt and Faith as well, and for having our missionary here with us this morning, Brother Ken and his wife. Lord, what a joy that you put things together sometimes, even when we don't exactly know what's in the plans. You have your plan. And Father, we talked about how amazing and powerful you are this morning during Sunday school. And Lord, it is a privilege. So be with the reading and the preaching of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have potluck this morning, and so usually I preach for till noon. I'll preach till about 12:30, quarter to 1, because we have the food right here. Nobody has to go home. So, no, we'll go with a abbreviated, ha-ha. Right, Jenny? Okay, maybe. We've been talking again about how the book of Philippians is themed with joy. So often, that's the way it's looked at. But we also look at the secondary theme, okay, that almost as many times as joy and rejoice and joyful is mentioned in Philippians is the mind, okay, that we are to have that mind of Christ. That's a choice, okay? You don't just become joyful, it just pops on you. It's a decision you have to make in the Lord. We're going to see that again today, especially once we get closer to the end and looking at Paul's response to a couple of things. But last week we talked about joy comes from when you have proper discipleship going on. And we looked at Timothy and his relationship with Paul, and how Paul and Timothy had this father-son relationship, and God had brought Timothy up in the faith under Paul, and Paul had declared that there's none of the same mind with me as Timothy, and I take great pleasure and great comfort in sending him to you, Philippians, to see how things are going for my own comfort. Paul had used that. Today we're looking at Epaphroditus, which, again, our theme is joy coming from committed Christians. Joy coming from committed Christians. And we talked about this, that we are not an island unto ourselves. There are so many folks who miss out on God's plan for joy and on the fullness of our life when people think that they can just watch preaching on a television at home and don't come and get with God's people. And it's impossible. It is impossible to have the fullness of joy. And we can look back to sermons we preached from this book just a couple of months ago where Paul says, I long for you in the bowels of Christ, where he has that desire to be with them, that the relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ is something that cannot be replaced. It cannot be denied. It has to be active in our lives if we're going to have full joy. Okay? And we're going to see that here, exampled out. But, and I know, believe me, I know, there are certain people, when you come to God's house with God's people, that get under your skin and are not necessarily a joy to you. Okay? Because we're a family. Okay? Does everybody in your physical family always bring you joy? No. Sometimes we can't stand things that are going on in our physical family, right? And people do things that just, you just want to shake them, smack them, and you know what I mean. Those things you can't do because you'll get arrested. Okay? My mother used to talk about her five sisters. Okay, these ones right here. She says, I'm just going to introduce them to the five sisters. Okay, and sometimes you just, listen. Just because we're in a family relationship with one another doesn't mean that everyone that is here is going to be someone who you can latch on to and will bring you joy. Okay? There is a difference in what the Apostle Paul spells out for Epaphroditus with him. He lays out some pretty clear truths about this fella that reminds us why he was so important to that church in Philippi. Okay, and I just want to take a brief couple of minutes here to look at this. So Paul had a relationship with this gentleman. Number one, he called him my brother. Now, sometimes we use that term, and I know, you know, Dan and I and stuff, we sometimes dance around, do I want to call him Brother Dan? Do I want to call him just Dan? You know, do I want to call him, you know, Pastor Dan? Or, you know, it's just weird, you know, because if you're a person who's coming in who doesn't go to church often, and you hear all these people saying, well, Brother Bruce and Brother Dan and Brother, you know, they're like, brother, what is this whole brother business here? You know, am I in a cult? You know, but it is a great reminder because we are part of the family of God. Okay, we have a special relationship. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are adopted, and according to John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Okay, we're brothers and sisters. Okay, and we talked about that last week, how Paul said, Timothy, my own son. Okay, we're reminded about this relationship where Paul here with Epaphroditus says, he's my brother. Well, they weren't brother by birth, they were brother by faith. But it reminds us that our functioning in this life for serving the Lord is not just a job, it is a family relationship. There is something closer than just being acquaintances. It is more than just attending and putting our bodies in the same pew together every week. That we should have a deeper relationship. And honestly, and I hate saying this because it sometimes reminds us about how our physical families run, but if you are brother and sister here, understand we will be spending eternity with the people here. We may not be spending eternity with our physical brothers and sisters. Because they may not have put their faith in Lord Jesus Christ. So understand the bond that you and I have in Christ as brothers and sisters is going to be something that is unbreakable and eternal. The physical bond of siblings in the flesh isn't necessarily going to last for eternity. So tell me which one is more important. Remember when Jesus was standing outside, Jesus was inside and his mother and brothers came up outside and they said, hey Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here. And Jesus' response was, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Those who do the will of God. He clarified it, that even those physical relationships here were not qualified at the same level as those that are made by faith. Okay, so Paul here spells out, we have a member of the same family. Okay, it's not so. cut each other a little slack. What do you put up from your own physical family? Now, believe me, listen, I hear the murmurs now and then. I have the murmurs now and then. I've said the murmurs. Oh, brother so-and-so this morning. And we say things like, Lord, love them, because you know I can't. Okay, or sister so-and-so, she's going off again today. Listen, we have a special relationship. Make sure you nurture that relationship. But, that's my caveat, just but, okay? He is my companion in labor. You see that? So he's my brother, number one, but there's more than that that Paul adds to this guy's resume. He's my companion in labor. They're united in the same work. Now, if you're going to have somebody that is a person who brings you joy in your Christian walk, you better muckle up to somebody who's got the same ideas about what they're serving the Lord is. You got to be united, heading in the same direction. We talk about this all the time with fellowship. Okay, that's why we were careful. We said we're having a potluck downstairs. We're not having a potluck fellowship. Because contrary to what Baptist doctrine says, okay, fellowship is not defined by casseroles. Okay, it's two fellas in the same ship. People heading in the same direction, going toward the same goal, rowing in the same direction. Okay, you ever get in a canoe with somebody who's never canoed before? And they've got a paddle, and you've got a paddle, and you're in the back just because you've canoed before, and they're in the front trying to paddle, and you're like, stay on one side! Stop paddling on three! You know, they just keep, it's hard to steer when you're not heading for the same direction. You know what I'm talking about. Well, Paul says, he's my companion in labor. We're working for the same thing. Did you notice what verse 30 said? This sets the tone. Now, again, I want to put people in my life, and people who are going to bring me joy when it comes to my Christian walk are those who are working for the same things I'm working for. And look what Paul says his work was defined by. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. Do you see Epaphroditus' work ethic? He was so into his labor for the Lord that it almost killed him. Now that's the kind of guy I want to hang around with. Not a casual fly-by-night. That's the kind of person who will bring you joy. Yes? Okay, we're just setting some tone here. This is a special group. Paul only qualifies a few people in this group, and this is not an exhaustive list, but let me give you a couple of folks who he puts in this list with Epaphroditus. Timothy, Titus, Priscilla and Aquila, Philemon, and there's a few choice others. This is not a term that Paul uses for a lot of different Christians in his life. He's very guarded in how he uses this term about those who are companions in the work. Okay, just because somebody is a believer, just because they've asked Jesus into their heart, just because they attend a certain church somewhere, does not mean they are companions in the same labor. Be careful. If you're going to get joy, because if you're going to get joy, make sure you choose people who are companion in labor. Next one. Wait a minute, I want to make sure. Oh yeah, here we go. Someone, and this will put, we're talking about joy. Someone you enjoy working with. No, it'll bring you joy. I'm just telling you, there are certain people you're not going to enjoy working with. God knows us, man. He made us. He knows who we are. He knows not everybody is going to be right on the same page as us. Be careful, okay? Who you choose. He is also my fellow soldier. So not only were they united in work, they were united in warfare. There are only certain guys I would like in the trench next to me. There are certain people that got my back. Because too many times I've put the wrong people in that position in my life. And when they walk off, it takes your joy. It's hard to be joyful when those people that you're depending on aren't dependable. You know, I'm just being honest. Come on. If you want to have a joyful relationship with fellow Christians, and you're going to pick people who are committed in their walk for Christ. Okay? He also says, he's my minister. He ministered unto me. You know that word minister, so often it's today used as pastor, somebody who's at a church. Basically, biblically, it means servant. It means a servant. Sometimes it's tough when you're in a relationship with a person who's always a taker, never a giver. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, we're best friends, but I'm always doing for you. What are you doing for me? Not being selfish, but you have to understand this needs to be something mutual. You need to put people in your lives that are looking out for your best interest. And didn't we just read that each esteem other better than themselves? That we should look on the things of others, not on our own things? That we should be caring for others. The Apostle Paul says, listen, he was my minister. And I want you to see this for a minute. This is pretty interesting. Not only his needs. Did you see what this verse says? He says, and that he ministered to my wants. There's a difference. He ministered to my wants. There's a lot of amazing stories in the scripture, but one that pops into my mind, and I heard this in regards to this passage, it just pops into my mind every time. You remember David? He was at war. He was at war with Absalom, and he was unable to get to a certain well, which he really loved the water there. And he made the comment amongst his mighty men that said, I would just love a drink of water from that well. And these fellas heard that, crawled on their bellies through enemy lines to go get him a pitcher of water and bring it back so that he can have a drink from that well. Now, I love David's response. He just poured it out as an offering to the Lord. But you understand, they weren't just looking out for what David wanted, needed. They heard what he wanted, and they were willing to do that. You want to get joy in your life? Find people who are going to go over and above. I wrote it this way. Not just doing what one has to do, but going over and above. You know, certain people just do what they have to do. My children sometimes are like that. You know, hey, can you take out the garbage? Yeah, I'd like you to empty that garbage can, okay? Now, this is Dad's brain about to explode, okay? They pick up the garbage can with the bag in the garbage, and there's a couple of pieces of garbage on the floor around the can. They leave the garbage that's on the floor around the can, empty the can, bring the can back. It's nice and empty, new bag in it, but the little couple of things that were on the floor, it's like, do I have to spell out every little thing? Come on, who's with me in that? You've been there before. Where did I really have to say that? Where people are not necessarily doing what they could be doing, they're just doing exactly what needs or what they've been asked to do. You see what Paul says here? Epaphroditus, he ministered to my wants. He wasn't just here to take care of what needed to get taken care of. He was interested in me, what I wanted. He was concerned about me personally. This is the kind of person Paul is bragging on here. Now, they also had a relationship with him. Notice, next verse. It says that he was your messenger. Your messenger. Interestingly enough, that word is apostolos. He was your apostle. Okay, understand that he was one sent by them. Remember, that's what the word apostle means sent one. Okay, they purposefully had sent him to represent them. Now that tells you the kind of relationship that they had with Epaphroditus. They understood the kind of man he was, and they were willing to send him to take care of Paul, to provide Paul's needs. Now, did you see it with me? It said down at the bottom, to supply your lack of service toward me. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Philippians. Verse 15. We'll start there. Now ye Philippians know also that the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now this is something what Dan has been teaching when we went through Acts, and this is that Paul sometimes had a tent job where he worked, you know, in his early ministry, especially with Aquila and Priscilla. They were also tent makers and provided his needs. But there was also times when other churches supported him. And this is one of them. The Philippian church was amazing in this. And it says that they gave once and again unto his necessity. Okay, Paul had needs, and this church was one of the top supporting churches for the Apostle Paul. Keep going, though, and it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire, and you heard the quote from Brother Ken when he was up here, fruit to your account, right? Fruit that it may abound on your account. But I have all in abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. This church of Philippi had chosen Epaphroditus to bring this gift to meet Paul's needs. They had sent him to do that. Okay, go back to verse 10, just again, understanding. I know I kind of jumped the context, but verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly how that your, that now at the last your care of me flourished again. Therein ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity. But I speak in, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I can be instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done in that ye did communicate with my affliction. So they supported the Apostle Paul. And that is one of the things that the Apostle Paul was doing there. We can look to 2 Corinthians. Paul said the same thing about the Corinthian church. He said, listen, when you guys were supposed to support me when I was here, I didn't lay it to your charge. Other churches supported me. Okay, look if you would to 2 Corinthians. I don't want to just quote it. I always misquote. So it's great to have a copy of God's word in front of me because my brain ain't what it used to be. I was expecting to hear an amen from that. I don't know. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7 through 9. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that I might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I wanted and was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome to you, and will I keep myself. So he said, listen, I'm here ministering to you guys. I'm not going to charge you guys anything. You guys can't support me right now, but the churches in Macedonia are. And this church Philippi is one of the first ones and only ones. So I wanted to see that this Epaphroditus was coming as a trusted believer to bring support and help to Paul's needs. Get this? Now, the kind of guy Epaphroditus is, he's bringing stuff that fulfills his needs, but he says, now I'm here. What else can I do for you? Now, I was taught this by a church out in Missouri. They have a Mars offering that they take up. It stands for missionaries are really special. Okay, that's what Mars stands for. And the Mars offering is not to help build churches or print Bibles or anything like that. They have a fantastic missions budget that handles that. The Mars offering is for this. When a missionary shows up, Ken and Joanne, they popped in today, so we can't help them. So, well, we'll give them free potluck downstairs. But when missionaries come in, they will go out and buy their kids books or toys or something like that. When our missionaries come in with Brother Fidel and some others, we've taken them and said, what sport does your son love to play? Basketball. Here's a basketball. Tell him it's from the church. Because it was something they wanted, not necessarily something they needed. Because you know what's amazing to young people whose parents are serving in the ministry? Yeah, they see the ministry getting provided for, but you know it's great to teach them, because your mom and dad have surrendered to the Lord, God can do awful special things for you. And it's not just about making sure that God's ministry is provided for. Sometimes your wants get provided for too. We sent, I think, a little, one of those, it wasn't a glue together, but a snap together, like a B-52 or something model that they wanted to build. You know, sometimes it's just good to focus on not necessarily what I need, but brother, what can I do with you? What, sister, what do you want? Is there something you want? Make it extra special. I love the fact that the Secret Sisters, that's kind of neat. They put down things that they like, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not giving them money for oil. They're giving them something special just to remind them, I love you. There's someone here in this church that loves you. Amen? Okay. Or another knickknack to try to find some place to put. Anyway. All right. Well, see, men should do that, because I don't think we'd give each other knickknacks. Hey, Dan, do you think Charlie would like this little angel figurine? I don't think it's going to work that way. So guys should do it, because they're probably like, how many Phillips head screwdrivers can one guy own? I'll buy him another one. I don't think. And listen, I've got 30 of them, and when you're looking for it, you can never find it. Okay. I don't know where that came from. A side note. All right. So not only was he there sent to sent to give them his needs, but he was also there to serve him. Did you catch the end? Now go back. We were in Philippians chapter 4. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. So not only did he bring gifts to meet Paul's needs, but it says, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now that doesn't mean Paul's saying, shame on you, you didn't bring things that you should have. He's talking about serving, ministering. Brother Ken's going to go over to Joanne's going to go over to Israel right now. As much as every single one of us in this church would probably love to go with them, that's not a possibility, is it? What a great trip that would be, huh, Ken? That'd be an awesome trip. But so Ken is going to cover that which we lack. We don't have the ability to do that. We would love to go over to Israel and be able to minister and be able to, but you know what? There's some people who need to stay by the stuff. You don't listen to preachers who run ministries, you know, no matter what size. Generally, when we're talking about those who are out and going and doing for the Lord and up front, that's usually about 10%. Usually about 90% are behind supporting and staying by the stuff and putting things together. The Apostle Paul says, listen, you couldn't all be here, so you sent Epaphroditus. He was serving me in those areas that you couldn't, because I'm not in Philippi. Okay, he's not chewing them out. He's just saying, listen, we couldn't minister together, but you sent Epaphroditus as one of your apostles, one of your sent ones, to come find me, to meet my needs, my wants, to be a minister to me. And man, can you understand how much Paul appreciated this? And you'll hear it in a minute as we cover it. So, not only was he their minister He loved them. Now, I don't know about you. This is not the first thing on my mind if I'm sick. You know, it talks about Epaphroditus as sick. It says, he longed, he yearned within him to let them know that he was doing okay because he was sick unto death. He was sick unto death, and he was more concerned about what the people at home in his home church were feeling because he was sick unto death. Did you catch that with me? Look if you would. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye heard that he had been sick. He was full of heaviness. He was concerned because the people back home, oh my goodness, they think I'm dying. I've got to get word to them. Do you see this desire in his heart, how much he had care for them? He was just concerned that they thought he might be dying. I don't know, maybe I'm just selfish, but if I'm laying in a hospital bed dying, I'm not calling my mother going, hey, don't worry, Mom, I'm okay. I'm like, doctor, what else can you put in this thing here, you know? You understand, it's this kind of silly point, but I'm trying to make this idea that he was so concerned for them that even when he was dying, he was more concerned about how they were doing, knowing he might be dying. That's how close a relationship they had. They also loved him very much because the Apostle Paul was very, very clear in saying, when he shows back up, I know you guys will have joy. So just the relationship that he conveyed to the Apostle Paul. Here he travels to meet Paul. He's ministering unto Paul, and Paul already understood how much joy the church of Philippi would get when Epaphroditus came home. You know he had to be making it very clear his passion and his love for his church. Because not only was he desiring to let them know, to care for them, to worry about what they were concerned about, but Paul says, listen, you are going to rejoice greatly when he comes back home. I know that. But there's something else here I want you to see. It says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. There's a focus. If I was going to tie the theme of the sermon this morning to a portion of this passage, that would be it. Joy comes from having committed Christians in our lives. It says, hold such one in reputation. What does that mean? Make them precious to you. Valued. Meaning when you find someone who has this kind of way about them, you better make them a special place in your life. He says, I know that there will be happiness and gladness. Make sure you understand how precious this person is in your life. So the question back, and we're rolling this back again, how do you and I get people in our lives, in our Christian lives, that bring us joy? Well, we better make sure that the people who we're putting in that position fit some of the criteria that the Apostle Paul puts here. Side note, Paul's talking about joy. The whole theme of the book is joy. We've been talking all over about joy. Did you notice that there can be sorrow and still be joy? Now, this is only something only a believer can understand. But did you notice he said, listen, I'm so glad he didn't die because there would have been sorrow upon sorrow. Which lets us know Paul was already struggling with the situations he was in. And he said, you know what? I'm so glad he didn't die because that would have added more sorrow unto my sorrow. And just to confirm it, he says, then I would be less sorrowful. He doesn't say, oh, he didn't die, so it took away all my sorrow. He said, now I'm less sorrowful. Now again, this is the misunderstanding in Christianity today, and I'm going a little longer, but I want to get this covered, that happiness is the goal of Christian life. That is a bunch of bunk. That is a lie from the pits of hell. God never promised that. Now, did he promise joy unspeakable Absolutely. But that can be accomplished even in the midst of sorrow. Because true joy, guys, is it an emotion or is it a choice? It's a choice. Paul, remember, the whole thing that was set up the first time he meets to establish this church in Philippi, he and Silas are in jail after being beaten and they're chained up in the basement. And in the midnight, they sing praises to God. That's a choice. I am sure they didn't sit there that night and say, "Whew, this is just what we wanted. I couldn't wait to be whipped and put in jail. This is exactly what I wrote on my resume about starting this church in Philippi." No, but they made a choice. Yeah, this situation stinks, but I'm not going to choose to wallow in this. I am going to choose joy. So the Apostle Paul, in the midst of writing this on about how joyful and loving and all the things in the context that we've been going over for weeks now, says, "I'm glad God didn't do this because it would have added sorrow unto my sorrow. I would have been less sorrowful." That doesn't mean he wasn't sorrowful. He was, but he chose joy. It's a choice. Helen, I love you. She's over here and she, all the issues she has, and she says, "I thank the Lord for strength and health." If there's anybody who has a right to complain about some things going on, but she continues to say, "You know what? I am choosing to praise God for my life and the situations I'm in." Hallelujah for that. Amen? I love it. Okay, two things, and we're done. Kind of heavier things, but I want this to be understood. So, are you a kind of person who brings joy to other people? Now, we're looking, we just took it from this side, saying, I want to find people who will be this kind of person and bring joy to me. Am I the kind of person who somebody looks at and goes, I can bring joy to that person? Heavy verse now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account." Let me read it again. I didn't finish the verse, but I will in a second. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account." Who in your life watches over your soul? Who in your life has to give an account to God for you? Now, I'm not asking you to answer it out loud, but there are certain people. Now let me finish the next part of the verse. "That they may do it with joy and not grief." We're talking about having people in our lives as Christians who will bring us joy. So it's not awkward in my pastor position. I'll talk about my father position. And I don't mean Father Fisher. I mean, I'm a dad. My children, I had a responsibility over. Again, not authority, responsibility. My children needed to obey me, not because I was the master of all things Fisher, but because I was to give an account to God on how I parented. When my children did not obey or did not do things the way they were supposed to do them, in the accountability that they were under because of what God has expected of me as a father, when they didn't do that stuff, it did not bring me joy. When they did obey and they did work in the system and the accountability structure that God himself has ordained as me the father, that brought me great joy. Well, this is not talking about a physical family. This is talking about a spiritual family. There are those in our lives that God has put there as people who would watch for our souls, people who would be taking care of us and looking over us, and we are expected to listen to what they say. Now, this is tough coming from this position, because what it sounds like I'm saying is, you better obey me or else. That's not what I'm saying. Again, authority is not something that is, I've got it. It comes down to this. If somebody in your life is going to be held responsible for your behavior and they're going to have to answer for it, then they should have a say in what's going on. Yes? Well, here in Hebrews, I believe it was the Apostle Paul again, but he says that they can do it with joy and not with grief. Do you realize the way in which you carry on? And I said this last week, and it's something simple, but I think it sets the idea. When people don't attend church regularly, it bothers your pastor. Now you say, oh, I'm going to a friend's house. We're going to be, you know, we got a big family reunion. I say, yes, thank you. Go do that. I'm not going ahead and say, boy, you better be here, or I'm going, oh, buddy, meet me in my office and bring your Bible. Okay? But to have this idea that, if I don't show, it's no big deal. It kind of is. And Ken could probably attest to this a little bit from just ministering with other pastors around the world. That when people are watching for your soul because they have to give an account, that sometimes your behavior can grieve them or bring them joy. That's the point. Now, I'm not, please, one step back. I'm not making this about me. I'm trying to show you the Word of God that says our behavior as brothers and sisters in Christ can bring joy or can bring grief to other people in our lives. Do we want to be the people who bring joy to one another? That's my point. Matter of fact, one more. 3 John. We're right here. 3 John. Again, this is not speaking as a physical father, this is speaking as a spiritual father. John the Elder was extremely good at saying, my little children, my little children, my little children. He, in his grandpa aged way, referred to fellow Christians that he had influence over as his little children. Look what it says here, 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater, what? Oh, okay. I have no greater, I can't get past that. I have no greater joy. So what brings him more joy than this? Nothing. There is nothing else that brings him more joy than what he's about to say. Than to hear my children walk in truth. He's not talking about his physical kids. He's talking about his spiritual family. Those he has an influence, those who he watches for their souls because he has to give an account. He says, I have no greater joy in this life. Or maybe he messed up. Maybe he's got other greater joy. No. You understand what he's saying? There is nothing that brings him more joy than to know the people in his life are serving God with their whole heart, that they're walking in truth. So here's the point, guys. Real joy comes from committed Christians in our lives. Number one, do you have some? Do you have an Epaphroditus that you can say, man, he ministers to my wants. I send him to do stuff for me, you know, for the Lord. I can trust that he's doing it. You know, he has a great relationship with Paul. He has a great relationship with me. Maybe you're the other end of it going, how can I be a person who brings others joy? Because I want to be that person. I don't want to be a downer. How about you? You know there's some people, come on, where you're like, oh, here they come. Hi, how are you today? My wife got a book called, Dealing with Life's Eeyores or something like that. You know, you remember Eeyore, and I love it. It's a great picture. Eeyore builds himself a little house, and they say, oh, great house, Eeyore. It'll probably fall down the next time there's a wind. You know, what a beautiful sunny day. Probably going to rain tomorrow. Well, you know what I'm talking about. We have a choice. We can choose joy, and we can choose to bring other believers joy. But it's not just because you put on a bubbly personality. Go back and rehearse these things in your life and my life. Are you a minister? Are you a brother? Are you a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier? Are you someone who is not just looking to meet somebody's needs because that's what has to get done, but you're looking to go over and above and maybe give them a little extra boost spiritually as you minister, as you serve them? Are you so concerned about people that you're not even worried about the fact that I'm about to die from being sick? I'm more concerned about you. At least at each esteem other better than themselves. When we develop those kind of relationships with one another, when we find those people who fit those criteria, it will bring us joy. I want to be that kind of person, and I need to find people in our church who can help me be that kind of person. You be my joy, I'll be your joy. My wife, look at her. She thinks I'm her joy all the time. All right, don't believe that. Okay.
Oops, microphone.
I think it's an amazing thing. And now I hope you understand after looking at this carefully what I said when we began, that said you can't watch a Christian preacher on TV and get the fullness what God has for us when it comes to joy. Because joy has to come from the other people that God has put in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us. Father, thank you that we're in this together. We talked about it for months, Lord. We have a long legacy of those before and those come up behind that, Lord, we can be an example to. And, Lord, we can mark those who live a great example for us. So, Father, I pray for myself, for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, help us to be someone who will bring joy to other believers, not because we have a bubbly personality, not because we got the latest funny out of a paper, but, Lord, because we live a life that brings joy in Christ. Father, I thank you for Epaphroditus. Thank you for his example that he was willing unto death to serve God. Lord, we need more people like that today. So, Father, thank you. Bless this time together. I know some of us have to head out. Others will be downstairs sharing in potluck together, just having some fun together. Lord, it's good to be with God's people. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for our missionary being here and all the special songs that were put forth. Lord, been a great day. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.